I am Tom Holland, and this is Yes, Fitness Disrupted 2.0. Back when I first really started getting into working out, had the home gym, we're talking 80s. The 80s. Now, I know I love that I have a bunch of listeners who are older than I, and you reach out and say, stop saying you're old, and it's just that number. Obviously, at 53, I feel amazing, and age is truly a number. So I will stop even alluding to that fact. It's just, it's weird. I'm definitely, you know, my 13-year-old says I'm less mature than he is. But I digress. So back when I was doing my home workouts, yes, back when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, really started getting into it. You know, I had the gym, the home gym downstairs in the basement, you know, with the really rickety bench, way too rickety, thinking back, looking back, like really narrow, not well put together. I think it came from Caldors. Does anyone remember Caldors? But I loved it. And the barbells and the dumbbells were those sand-filled plastic, you know, plates. Just loved it. And I would work out down there. And, you know, my 13-year-old actually asked a great question. He said, Dad, how did you know what to do back then? You know, he's starting to get into it at 13. I have a 16-year-old as well. They're both really starting to work out. And, you know, there's no Google, he said. You know, there's no internet. There was no YouTube. And I said, yeah, I had books and magazines and my Franco Colombo book that I bought a couple years ago was my original, found it on eBay, was one of my original study guides. But we didn't have the resources, which is good and bad, as I've said many times. There's a lot of really bad stuff out there today. So you got to know what you're reading and what you're looking at. But I loved it. And included in that home gym was not just what I had downstairs, but I had that chin-up bar. And for those of you who are around my age will know what I'm talking about, the original chin-up bar. Not the one today that I'm going to talk about towards the end, but the original, which was just a bar that went in between your door frame. And what did you do? You rotated it. So it was kind of two pieces, one bar inside the other, and you spun it, and it would get longer and longer, and you literally stopped making it longer when you heard your door frame crack. Who remembers that? If you do, I need you to reach out. When the door frame cracked, the wood of the door frame, that said, okay, tight enough. And there wasn't YouTube back then, so there were fails, right? Because there was nothing other than the tension that was on that door frame to keep you from falling. A little later, they started adding like the metal, you know, C-cups that you could screw into the door frame, and then you would put the bar on top of that, so that was much more secure. We never did that. We just, you know, tightened it into the door frame till you heard a crack. And, you know, we didn't weigh a lot back then when you're 13, 14, 15 years old. But as you got heavier, it got a little more risky, a little riskier, a little more dangerous. But I loved it. And one thing that got me inspired not only to work out, but to do chin-ups was Rocky, right? The scene of him doing his chin-ups and his one-arm chin-ups, I started doing those as well. And so that chin-up bar has been around forever. And a listener reached out recently and asked why I hadn't spoken about chin-ups or pull-ups. Thought I didn't do them. I do them. I do them. There's just only so many shows and so much time. We're going to get to it all. And thank you for reaching out and asking that question. I said, I'm going to do the show right away because I'm still doing them. Doing them at home and doing them at the gym. I'm going to talk about the difference and why, all the different ways to, you know, do them, all the above. All right, so let's just jump right into it. What's the difference? What's the difference between a pull-up and a chin-up? And I did think of doing these as separate shows, even like Fit Tips. I'm like, you know what? No, they go together. And, you know, it's actually helpful to talk about them together because then I can talk about the differences. So generally the difference is your hand position, right? Both how it's facing you and how wide. So traditionally, now some people have different definitions, right? But traditionally a chin up is the palm facing you, right? And that's kind of the agreed upon positioning. It's called a supine position. So that is where your palm is facing you. You can see it. And it's about shoulder width apart. You're not going to really play around with your hand position as far as width with a chin up as you would with a pull up. And I'm going to talk about that and some goofy stuff I saw online as well. So a chin up, palms are facing you, and that makes a difference in the muscle activation, a large difference, depending on, again, are your palms facing you or facing away? So pull up, going to face away, your palms are going to face away from you, and then you can start to play around with the width of your hands as well with the pull up, all right? And again, that change in grip position, difference in muscle activation. And it will make sense to all of you who've ever tried to do one, as I described the muscles that are worked, all right? They're both body weight exercises. Yes, you can add weight. I'll talk about that shortly as well. And it requires a bar, right? So it's not like a push-up or a squat where you need literally nothing, but it's that next step up where, holy cow, super inexpensive. You can do it outside, as I'll get to as well. So you need a bar. And you can pretty much find them anywhere, or you can purchase one as well. So just a great back-to-the-basics exercise. Yeah, they're hard. They're harder than push-ups, I would argue, for most people, having, you know, trained thousands over the years as a trainer and coach. It's analogous to that push-up. People have a love-hate with pull-ups and chin-ups because they're hard, right? But there's a way to progress. Again, I'll talk about that in a second. So you got the basic difference, right? Palm facing you or away, and then how wide. And those two differences will change the relative muscle activation. All right, let me read you what the American Council on Exercise, their definition of the chin-up and the primary muscles that are worked. I'm going to give you all of them with their official exercise science names, and then I'll simplify it for you, right? So primary muscles involved in the chin-up are the biceps brachii, brachialis, brachioradialis, latissimus dorsi, teres major, posterior deltoid, and the deep spinal stabilizers, including the transverse abdominis, lumbar multifidus, and the thoracolumbar fascia. You go, what the heck is that? It's your biceps, your forearms, your back, and your core. All right. Yeah, we can get more specific as that just did, but it's your biceps, your forearms, your back, and your core. And the back part is where, you know, a lot of the muscles will change a little bit. But the big difference for, you know, this show, which is chin-ups and pull-ups 101, is when you do a chin-up, that's your biceps. So your biceps are involved, not in the same way with a pull-up. And with a pull-up, your back is involved much more than it is in a chin-up. But you're using those muscles to some degree in both. But when we think of a chin-up, biceps, right, along with the back. When we think of a pull-up, we're thinking back first, the lats. And that's why when you start to change how wide your hands are, you're going to change the way it hits your lats, the way it hits your back and the muscle fibers that you engage, all right? Let's get into the science a little bit deeper because this helps clarify. When you do a chin-up, your shoulders, they're in an externally rotated position. So that's more natural. It feels more natural, right? When you do a chin-up, and that's a good thing. Externally rotated position, easier on your shoulders. And your radius and your ulna bones, those are in your forearms, they're in their natural parallel position as well, right? So as I stand here and do this podcast, I'm holding my hands up like a chin-up, right? So if you hold your arms up in front of you, palms facing you, the bones in your forearm, the two bones, those are not crossed as they are in a pull-up, okay? And shoulders, again, more natural position. Now with the pull-up, again, the big difference is the back, right? Most bodybuilders will think of pull-up as a back exercise, right? And the chin-up you're going to do on your bicep day. That's the big difference that you need to know, right? So large back muscles involved in your pull-ups, your latissimus dorsi, your rhomboids. You're also using posterior deltoids, and your biceps forearms core as well. And that's one thing, by the way, that not a lot of people realize till you do it and pay attention, that you feel your abs, right? You feel your abs when you're doing pull-ups and chin-ups. And that's a good thing, right? Core engagement, nice natural way to work your core muscles without doing, you know, your traditional crunches or things like that. I have to talk about kipping. So kipping is the swinging. You do that in certain specific modalities and competitions. If you're competing and you're doing it, okay. If you're not competing, there's a higher risk of stuff going wrong, people. So we just talked about with a chin-up, your shoulders in an externally rotated position, right? When you do a pull-up, your shoulders are in an internally rotated position, and that generates potential impingement, okay? Possible problems with your shoulders, right? And your radius and your ulnar bones are crossed over one another, but that's not the real issue when it comes to the shoulders. And then when you start to swing and use momentum and your shoulders are in that position, potential problems. I've never done a kipping pull-up, and I have no desire to. And I tend to do everything. I try everything once, but I'm not going to compete like that. And again, if you're competing, you got to do it, and you're running that risk. But we're going to talk the science, and you're going to know the potential risks, right? And so that comes with doing a pull-up in and of itself and then adding in that swinging, and just increases the likelihood of a problem, all right? I have to add in here, in doing the little research for the show, there was a picture of a pull-up. And the explanation underneath said, grab the bar with your hands shoulder width apart and palms facing away from you. Shoulder width apart is really narrow for a pull-up. I'm not saying you can't do them that way, and people can, but traditionally they're wider than shoulder width. And the picture had the hands wider. That's really problematic. I mean, and the article was supposedly reviewed by someone with some decent certifications. Put your hands, I'm going to put my hands shoulder width, like truly shoulder width apart. That's like a chin up with your hands reversed. Okay, when we do a pull up, you're wider than shoulder width, and you can go much wider, you know. Shoulder width apart? For a pull-up, again, not saying that's not the way you can do it and you can vary your grip, but traditionally speaking, it's wider than shoulder width and significantly wider, all right? Both improve your grip strength and your forearm strength, so benefits, that's involved. And, you know, with the challenge comes the change. So it's hard because it's body weight, you're fighting gravity, right? You're pulling yourself up. And depending on how much you weigh, right? If you weigh more, it's obviously going to be more challenging depending on how strong you are. But now, yes, you've got your grip strength and your forearm strength involved as well. That's like that crazy burning you feel after doing an exercise like this. So again, know that that's potentially maybe your limiting factor or one of them. It improves over time. And if you are competing in anything, you know, that involves grip strength, forearm strength, you know, you've got all these crazy, you know, outdoor events where you're doing stuff like this. So that would be a reason to train with chin-ups and pull-ups, right? If you're doing those races, those adventure-type races with a lot of climbing and pulling and ropes and things like that, all right? So you want to improve your grip and your forearm strength, and also just for activities of daily living, right? that comes up. Opening up that pickle jar, right? Grip strength, forearm strength. Another consideration we want to talk about is that they're both primarily back exercises, although, again, you can use and will use a lot of biceps for a chin-up. But this is where you really start to see people who know how to engage their back, to retract their scapula, your shoulder blades, to pull them back, right? And really use your back muscles. Those lats are big. Your back muscles are big. And if you just try to rely on your arm strength, it's going to be really hard. But that's that mind-muscle connection that takes time to develop. And that's why exercises like this and these take time to get good at, because it's neural as well as, you know, building up that strength, the muscular strength. So you're making those connections to your muscle fibers first. You're learning good form, by the way, hopefully, and then you're building up strength. So all of these things have to happen, and they have to happen in their own good time, right? You got to make those connections. You have to learn neurally how to recruit those muscle fibers first. And when you don't use good form to start, that's a huge problem. And I'm going to talk about the progression in a second. And that's a main reason why it is really challenging for people, because you're not progressing right. All right, so goes right to mistakes. See these all the time at the gym. Bad reps, half reps. And it's understandable because they're hard, but I will watch, much like push-ups, where someone does 50 pulses instead of, I would argue, 10 good full-range push-ups. Same thing with pull-ups and chin-ups, but especially pull-ups. You're not getting your chest up to the bar or even close, right? And they're doing half reps. They're not going all the way down. You don't have to go all the way, but most of the way. And again, there's different reasons for going to different depths, but we generally want a full range of motion, people. And that's harder. And when you're stuck to the numbers, which is a common mistake people make with just about every exercise. Oh, I want to do 10 pull-ups. I want to do 50 push-ups. No, do 10 good push-ups. Do one good pull-up. Do one good chin-up. That's hard. That's hard. When I was a trainer, you know, I had numerous clients who would come to me and we'd sit down and figure out their goals, short-term, long-term. And I loved, especially the women, and this is back, you know, before, like today, where women are really pushing the envelope with Olympic lifts and things like that. You know, you had all the myths, bulk and all that stuff still around today, but it's better than it was, you know, 20 some odd years ago or more. But they would say, I want to be able to do 10 pull-ups or 10 chin-ups, body weight. And I go, awesome. It's going to take time, but we're going to build up to it. And that's a great goal. Now, many of you are like, oh my gosh, 10 body weight chin-ups, 10 body weight pull-ups. Yeah, you could do it. I'm going to tell you how in a second to progress. But we want to do and utilize good form. And not only do I see quite frequently bad reps with body weight, but then bad reps with, you know, adding weight. And I did this back when I bodybuilt. You take the chain and the belt and you add a, you know, 25-pound plate, 45-pound plate between your legs hanging, and you start to do pull-ups and chin-ups. There are very few people who can do those well. Very few, at least in my gym right now, or like to do 10 good, you know, utilizing good form chin-ups, pull-ups with added weight, especially a lot of added weight. That's challenging, not to say. Listen, you go to certain gyms and, yeah, there's people, men and women who've been training for a long time, they can do it, but it's taking them a long time, okay? And then the swinging. The swinging's not for me. If you're competing, I'll say it one final time. Okay, you know, you have to train the way you're going to compete. Totally get it. Totally get it. But for the vast majority of you who are not competing and not competing, you know, in your workout itself against other people, I would avoid it. This is goes to cost benefit. Okay. And once those shoulder joints are the most mobile joints in your body, the most susceptible to injury. And let me finish up this whole kind of topic by saying the number of people I know who have potentially most likely injured themselves doing what I just described, but don't admit that, don't attribute it to it. Oh, no, no, no. And then they come up with some really interesting, you know, biomechanical issues or, you know, you name it, anything but the movement itself to blame for their shoulder issues. It's pretty incredible, the numbers. Okay, done with that. So the progression, it's all about progression. You know, everything in exercise is about starting slowly, building up, doing it right first. Good form before we start to add weight, right? Train the muscles first, train the movements next, work up to it slow and steady. When I was a trainer, I would put my hands under the knee. So if we had a client, you know, if I had a client and I didn't have the weight assist, which I'll talk about in a second, you know, you jump up there, I put my hand, you bend your knees, I put my hand under your knees, and you're going to do assisted pull-ups and chin-ups with me. Now, that goes to, like, you got to be comfortable, and trainers out there, you always, always, always ask a client first if that's going to be okay. We err on the side of not touching, by the way. That was at least my that's my philosophy, and I don't want to get into that too too deeply. But, yes, your trainer can help you as well. And then in the gym, there is the machine. I used it today. It's the weight assist pull up and chin up. And that's where you have the weight stack. And if you weigh 150 pounds and you put it on 100 pounds, you're lifting 50. That is the single greatest way to build up. And this is, goes to when I talk about gym versus home workouts. When I go to the gym, I use machines like that because I don't have that at home. I'll talk about what I have at home in a second, but that's such a perfect example of what do you do at the gym? Don't spend an hour stretching and doing push-ups when you can do that at home. Use the equipment you don't have at home and don't have access to, you know, to utilize at home, because that's what you're paying for, okay? So the weight assist, oh my gosh, perfect, chin-ups and pull-ups, and go super light as you build up that strength. If you saw how slowly I go, again, basically it's that 2 second, 4 second rep. I use that for just about everything. I go slower on the down and a little faster on the up, and I use a lot of weight as I'm building. I haven't done these in a while. I'm just getting back to them. So I'm using significant amount of weight. And it's gonna take me a while to get back up to 10 pull-ups and chin-ups, by the way, but that's a new goal for me. And being a, you know, Ironman guy and running across Grand Canyon and back, more endurance work, I'm going to build back up. It's going to take time. I know how much time it's going to take. I don't care. I'm enjoying it and I'm doing it right. So that is one of the greatest ways. If you don't have access to that, many of the gyms now have those big, huge rubber bands. Okay. Those you can loop over the bars. And by the way, these didn't really exist. They weren't common when I was a trainer many, many years ago. They slowly started to come into popularity. But like, they're amazing now. So huge rubber bands, you throw it over the bar and you either put your knees or your feet in it, depending on the strength. And there are different strengths. So you're basically using another way, another assist, right? So the band is going to help you until you build up strength, and you can get all different strengths of bands. So you want more strength as you're, you know, a little weaker. And as you progress, you trade out the bands. Okay. So great. I do the pull-ups on my back and biceps day. I just switched from a total upper body workout that I've been doing for years. Now mixing it up, and I'm doing my chest, shoulders, biceps day, and my chest, shoulders, triceps day, and back and biceps day. And on the back and biceps day, I'm doing pull-ups and chin-ups with that weight assist at the gym. All right. Bars today, let me kind of wrap it up with that. The equipment today is amazing. I keep saying, like, fitness technology through the roof. You have no excuses, people. Everything is inexpensive. You can get anything you want, you know, privacy of your own home. You don't have to spend a fortune, and you shouldn't. And the bar today is not that chin-up bar that you had to crack into your your door frame. I mean, how amazing are the bars today? So if you don't know what I'm talking about, they now have the chin-up pull-up bar that hooks over your door frame. It's genius. You're not going to have the fail. It is really hard to fail. You got to basically put it on incorrectly or get on to it incorrectly to have an issue. It is so smart, inexpensive. Every house should have one. Why? Because it goes right into the micro workout philosophy that I have. Let me just throw these things in really quickly so you can get the bands for your home as well, right? So you got the bar, you put that in a doorway in your home, and then you can get the bands and use those to help you build up that strength. If you have a partner, you can also have them. I do it with my kids. I get my hands under their knees and will help them as well. You can do advanced ab moves with that bar. So you can hang and do your crunches, straight legs, bent knee, crunches, hanging ab moves. So it's not just for pull-ups and upper body and chin-ups. You can do ab moves. You can stretch out your shoulders. I love that. Just stand underneath it and, you know, kind of stretch those shoulders out. Awesome. And I had these back when I owned the gym and in the home for a little while. Someone stole them. Gravity boots. Who knows what I'm talking about? You put them on your ankles. They have hooks on them. You go upside down. You hang from the bar and you do upside down crunches. Now, let me just warn you, don't do this yourself unless you can get on it or off, or you're going to be stuck. But there you go. Super advanced. Super fun. Gravity boots is what I call them. There's different names for them. I think that it was in the movie, you want to really date myself, American Gigolo with Richard Gere. I think it opened up almost with him doing those crunches. So you put one in your doorway. This goes to micro workouts. Find a doorway in your home that you're going to walk by, you know, pretty frequently, that you don't have to close the door all the way because you can't. And then throughout the week, throughout the day, you walk by and you do half a rep. And you do that a couple times a week. And then you're going to start doing 3/4 of a rep. And you're going to build up to one. And this is what works. It's adding movement and activity and little workouts in throughout the day. And this isn't even a workout. It's like, it's just perfect. You know, on your arm days, if that's how you do it, you know, chin-ups. And if you're good, then you do like, you know, set of 10 in the morning, set of 10 at lunch, set of 10 at night. This is what I do. This is what I've done for years. This is what works for me. It's what makes it easier. Moving throughout the day, setting goals, building up. And it makes it fun. And the whole family can do it as well. Super inexpensive. If you don't, feel like you're using it enough, you take it, write it down, put it away, and then bring it back out. It's not $2,000. It's natural. Again, does so many different things. Keeping it to a half hour. But this is why I would argue every household needs a chin-up and pull-up bar, especially when they're so well made the way they are today. And one final thing, you do these chin-ups and pull-ups outside. When my kids were babies, I used to take them to the playground, and I had a whole playground workout, which included pull-ups and chin-ups and swing lunges and things like that. So you could do them outside. You know, there's so many different ways, by the way, with bars and stuff. I don't want to get into all that. You can buy the little, you know, different rack type things and things like that. But I like to keep it simple, right? All right, there you go. Why chin-ups and pull-ups are awesome. Chin-ups and pull-ups 101. We'll be talking much more about this as well. Again, thank you for the great question from one of the listeners. And if you want to reach out, Tom H. Fit is Instagram. Tom H. Fit is Twitter. Please direct message, questions, comments, anything. Follow the show, subscribe, you know, whatever you can do. This is a new feed, Fitness Disrupted 2.0. You can go to fitnessdisrupted.com, brand new website up there. Email me through the site. The newest book is The Micro Workout Plan. Thank you for those of you who bought it, and reviews on Amazon, so appreciated. If you're going to do that, again, I'm just going to bring you the best information, people. I've been doing this a really long time. I'm going to be doing it till the day I die, which will be like 138. Haven't decided yet. I'm not at my midlife crisis by any stretch of the imagination. Remember, there are three things we all control: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. And that, people is awesome. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself.